Okay, so when we think about figuring out what went wrong after a plane crash, we really rely on just two key things, right?
Yeah, the flight data recorder, the FBR, that tells us what the plane itself was doing, the controls, the speed, altitude.
And the cockpit voice recorder, the CVR, that captures the sounds, the conversations in the cockpit.
Exactly. And look, these things are amazing. They give investigators this incredibly detailed picture of the final moments, the how of a crash, almost down to the second.
But sometimes, maybe increasingly, that detailed picture, it has this huge hole in it. It tells us how, but it leaves this really critical question unanswered. Why?
Why did a skilled crew sometimes make a decision that, looking back, seems completely counterintuitive? Maybe they faced a known issue, something they trained for.
But then something goes wrong in the moment.
Precisely. The data might show, say, they shut down the wrong engine, but it can't explain the split-second confusion, the cognitive process behind that catastrophic mistake.
And that gap, that space between the hard data and, I guess, the human factors, the why, that's at the heart of this huge debate, isn't it? Been going on for, what, 20 years?
At least, yeah, a really intense, long-running debate across the whole aviation world.
So today we're doing a deep dive. We've looked at source material, including some really key insights from Aviation Maintenance Magazine, to try and understand this. Our mission really is to explore why what seems like an obvious technical fix, putting a camera in the cockpit, a video data recorder, or VDR, why that's faced such fierce opposition.
And why, right now, pilot privacy seems to be winning out over getting that final piece of investigative certainty.
So the big question we're tackling for you is this: is adding video the crucial missing link we need for ultimate flight safety?
Or is it a step too far, an invasion of privacy that could actually backfire and maybe even hurt pilot performance when it matters most?
Let's dig in. Maybe we should start with some recent accidents, the ones that really highlight this problem, this ambiguity.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay, think about Jeju Air Flight 7C2216, South Korea. This was December 29th, 2024, a Boeing 737-800.
Right, the belly landing. It overran the runway, hit an embankment. Just a horrific fire.
Absolutely devastating. Only two survivors, both cabin crew, out of 179 people.
Wow.
Now, the FDR, it tells investigators the inputs, right? What the pilots did with the controls?
But what was going on? What were they seeing? Or maybe not seeing? Was there a breakdown in their scan, their procedures? The why behind those inputs is murky.
And it's not just landings. Take Air India Flight 171, June 2025, crashed just 32 seconds after takeoff.
Another terrible tragedy. 242 people on board, plus, tragically, 19 more on the ground. And the puzzle there for investigators is just chilling.
What was it?
The FDR shows the pilot cut the fuel flow seconds after lifting off.
Cut the fuel 30 seconds after takeoff. Why on earth?
Exactly. Why? The CVR might pick up, I don't know, a gasp or a shouted word maybe, but it won't show the physical act. Did they reach for the landing gear lever and hit the fuel cutoff by mistake?
Or maybe a warning light distracted them, some visual confusion.
We just don't know. We're left trying to guess the intent from the outcome. And, well, often that's just impossible.
And then there are the intentional acts. Like Germanwings 9525, we know the first officer, Andreas Lubitz, deliberately crashed the plane.
We know the outcome, and the CVR captured that horrifying audio of the captain trying to break down the door, but investigators still wanted to know more.
Like what exactly Lubitz was doing in those final minutes, alone in the cockpit.
Yeah. Was he looking at instruments,
Yeah.
staring ahead, inputting things into the flight computer? That visual piece was missing.
So these recent cases really underline the problem.
They do, and they connect to a longer history of accidents where pilots, often under intense stress, did things that seem, well, completely illogical in hindsight. It's not just about simple error, it's about how the mind works or sometimes fails under extreme pressure.
You mentioned shutting down the wrong engine.
Yeah, the sources bring that up. It's happened more than once. Transair Flight 810 near Hawaii, for example, and maybe more famously, KLM City Hopper 433 back in 94 at Schiphol.
What happened there?
One engine fail and the pilot. Well, the pilot actually shut down the good engine. Even worse, set it to ground idle.
Wow. Literally making things worse.
Dramatically worse. And investigating that, you see the problem. The FDR and CVR tell you what they did the wrong action, but they don't show you the visual context.
You don't see their eye movements, which warning light they focused on, how they might have misunderstood a display.
Exactly. That visual confirmation, knowing exactly what the panel showed and what the pilots were interacting with, that's the missing piece.
Which, okay. brings us neatly to the proposed technical fix, the video data recorder, the VDR.
Right.
And this is where it gets kind of baffling because technically, this isn't hard, is it?
Not at all. The sources are really clear on this. We're not talking about some futuristic, complex technology. It's available right now. It's cheap.
The author uses the analogy of that check, right? Like in your car.
Yeah. Exactly. Costs maybe $50, admissible in court, the VDR concept, totally doable today.
So the idea is just put a few small cameras in the cockpit.
Yeah, strategically placed, not to like film the pilot's faces constantly, but focused on the control panels, the instrument displays, and crucially, the pilot's hands on the controls from a few different angles.
And importantly, this isn't about Big Brother watching in real time.
Absolutely not. It would work just like the existing black boxes. It records, stores the video on board, overwriting old data. It only gets pulled and looked at if there's an accident or a serious incident.
The same rules, the same security protocols that already protect this CVR and FDR data would just apply to the VDR too.
That's the proposal. Simple, logical extension of what we already do.
Okay, simple technology, logical extension.
Yeah.
So why the pushback? It seems video surveillance is already out there in aviation, just maybe not in the cockpit.
Oh, it's definitely used elsewhere. And yeah, it runs straight into privacy issues, especially, it seems, in Europe.
Like the KLM example.
Right. KLM tried putting a camera by the plane door. The idea was to show the feed live in the cabin, hoping it would deter passengers from fighting.
How did that go?
Shut down. Immediately. Lawyers jumped in, citing strict European privacy laws. End of project.
Huh. But then you compare that to the Transero example from Russia.
Exactly. A complete contrast. Transero hired the author to put video systems on, like, 75 of their big jets, 747, 7777s.
Was that for passenger fights again?
Initially, yeah. Recording fights, figuring out who threw the first punch. Later, they adapted it for cargo security, too. System recorded 200 forces of 7 from 8 cameras onto a server.
And the privacy angle for Transair.
According to the author, it was a non-issue. Never even came up in discussion. They just did it.
Wow. That's a stark difference. Same tech, different continent, completely different reaction.
It really highlights the cultural divide, doesn't it? And when industry bodies like the Air and Sea Committee tried to standardize these cabin surveillance systems globally,
privacy became the sticking point again.
Immediately. The dominant concern, especially from European carriers and regulators. So if that's the reaction for monitoring the cabin, imagine the reaction to monitoring the cockpit.
Where the stakes feel much higher, personally, for the crew.
Exponentially higher. We do see VDRs used now, but it's niche. Test flights, some search and rescue helicopters, situations where maybe privacy expectations are different or overridden by specific operational needs. But for routine commercial flights, big resistance.
Okay, so that takes us right to the core conflict. Safety versus privacy, certainty versus trust. The NTSB here in the U.S., other investigators, they want VDRs for that certainty.
Mm-hmm. They see it as the only way to truly understand the human factors, the why.
But the pilot unions, LPA, BELPA, IFLOPA, globally, they're strongly against it. What's their fundamental fear? It's not really about the investigation itself, is it?
Not primarily, no. Their big fear is about misuse. It's about what happens to that video after an investigation.
Like leaks?
Leaks are a massive concern. Imagine cockpit video ending up on the nightly news or going viral online, taken out of context, easily misinterpreted by the public, leading to trial by media.
And they worry airlines might use it for discipline too, not just safety improvement.
That's the other huge fear, that it moves from being a tool for non-punitive safety analysis, which is the whole foundation of accident investigation, to becoming a tool for assigning blame, for disciplinary action, for firing pilots.
So it's about trust. They don't trust that the footage will be kept secure and used only for its intended purpose.
Exactly. It's a fear of a fundamental breach of trust. And they argue that if pilots feel they're constantly under surveillance, judged on every micro action, it could actually harm safety.
How so?
Well, if you know every flicker of indecision, every momentary fumble under pressure might be scrutinized by management later, could that make you hesitate in a critical moment? Could it change your natural reactions?
That actually destroys the safety culture they've built, right? The one based on reporting errors without fear of punishment.
That culture relies on trust and confidentiality. Video, they fear, shatters that.
And we actually have proof that monitoring does change behavior, don't we? There's that Atlas Air story in the source material.
Yeah, it's a fascinating example. It goes back about 2 decades. Atlas Air put new digital engine displays in their older 747 freighters.
Okay, upgraded tech. What happened?
The new system immediately started flagging something alarming. pilots were regularly exceeding the engine gas temperature limits, EGT limits, during takeoff, pushing the engines too hard.
And the pilot's reaction, the computer's wrong.
Pretty much. They insisted it had to be the new system, bad sensors, faulty calibration. Engineers went over it again and again.
Was the system wrong?
Nope. The system was perfectly accurate. It was correctly reporting that the limits were being breached.
So how did the problem get fixed?
It just disappeared. Once the pilots realized the computer was accurately recording every single time they pushed the limits, they became more careful, more disciplined on takeoff. They stayed within the lines.
So monitoring worked. It enforced the standard operating procedure.
It did. In that routine operational context, it clearly improved compliance.
But, and this is the million-dollar question, if being watched changes behavior during a normal takeoff, what does it do during a sudden, chaotic, life-or-death emergency?
That's the crux of the pilot's concern. Under extreme stress, you need instinct, drilled responses, immediate action. If there's even a tiny part of your brain thinking, how will this look on camera?
That hesitation, that split second of self-consciousness.
Could be fatal. It's the paradox, right? The tool designed to understand behavior might fundamentally alter the very behavior it's trying to capture, especially under duress.
Which makes that compromise idea only record when there's an alert, like a collision warning or ground proximity warning, sound appealing but maybe flawed.
Yeah, the idea is, okay, let's just capture the crucial 2 or 3 minutes during the emergency, but think about that Atlas Air example.
The problem wasn't the final moment. It was the lead-up.
Exactly. If the pilots were already pushing the limits before things got critical, recording only the aftermath misses the root cause. Investigators need the whole sequence, the decisions and actions leading to the alert, not just the frantic reaction once the horn sounds.
Okay, so the tech is there. The need seems clear from an investigative standpoint. This really just boils down to trust, doesn't it? Building protocols that pilots believe will protect them.
100%. It's not a technical argument anymore. It's political. It's philosophical. It's about creating bulletproof guarantees around privacy, access, and immunity from punitive action.
Like some kind of secure escrow system for the data.
Something like that. Ensuring the video is only ever used for safety improvement, just like CVR data is supposed to be used today. Everyone wants the same outcome. Safer skies, learning from mistakes so they don't happen again. We just need a system that both investigators and pilots can fully trust.
The author we read seems convinced VDRs are coming. Eventually. It's just too valuable a safety tool to ignore forever.
I think that's likely right. The potential to finally understand those crucial human factors moments. The perception, the judgment, the decision-making under pressure. It's the next big step for accident investigation.
But they also said, maybe a few more years of a discussion first.
Yeah, building that trust, getting those protocols agreed upon globally, that's the hurdle. It won't happen overnight.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. What does this all mean for you listening to this? The next time you're settling into your seat on a flight, well, think about this. We know monitoring changes behavior in routine situations, like the Atlas Air pilots being more careful with engine limits. If, or maybe when, cockpit video becomes standard, will that recording capture a pilot's true, raw reaction in a sudden emergency? Or will it capture something slightly different of performance, maybe subtly delayed or altered, by the simple fact that they know the camera is rolling?
That's the question, isn't it? Something to really ponder as this debate over safety, technology, and trust continues to unfold.